A Papua New Guinea Christmas by Dick Dirksen, December 2018. We've spent a lot of time trying to get people into our churches, said Pastor Dale, with only a smattering of success. They're afraid of us, angry that we want to take away their traditions, and although a few are baptized when we hold a crusade, many of those go back to their old ways right away. It's hard to get anyone to change. I saw sadness in Dale's face. He had worked as a missionary for many years, so I asked if he had found a way to bring the life of Jesus to the people he served in the rainforests of Papua New Guinea. "Only one way," he said. "We conducted annual training workshops for our young church leaders, prayerfully seeking how God would like us to work with the people who lived around us. After a while, we decided to turn everything upside down. Rather than wait for the people to come to church, we'd take church to the people." As part of their training, a score of youth began imagining what the church would look like if it had no walls, no pews, and no windows, only ears, eyes, hands, legs, and hearts. The team studied the Gospels and the Book of Acts to see how Jesus and the disciples brought church to the people. They also considered discipleship principles found in the final chapters of Ministry of Healing, a ministry book written by Adventist pioneer Ellen White. "My favorite part," said Pastor Dale, "is where she writes that the greatest argument in favor of Christianity is a loving and lovable Christian." Reading those words got us imagining better ways to be more lovable Christians. The New Guinea youth developed beautiful programs to address basic needs of people struggling with sickness or in major life transitions, such as marriage, becoming adults, or those having their first child. As part of their training, youth were required to go into the community and practice. Several of the youth found a man who was sick unto death. He was unable to get around well, so his house and yard needed attention. He needed food, as well as friends. But the fellow wasn't friendly. In fact, he despised Adventists and had tried his very best to prevent the youth from having their training workshop in his village. He'd even sent spies out to sneak around their camp and report back what they were doing. When the youth came back to class, Dale remembered, they didn't even mention that they found someone needing help. They were afraid to help him. It took considerable encouragement for them to even return to his house. But after respectfully greeting him, one of the youth stepped forward and explained that they had been learning how to serve people in the community. And when they had found out that he was sick, they decided to practice what they were learning and spend a whole day just caring for him and doing anything else he needed done. "You want to serve me for a whole day?" he asked incredulously. "Yes, sir," they replied. "Would you mind?" Shocked, he nodded his head that it would be okay. The next morning, 17 youth came to his house. They were armed with machetes, rakes, axes, shovels, rags, and soap. Lots of soap. They also brought several days' worth of good nutritional food. While one group raked and cleaned around the outside of the house, another group entered the house and gave it a thorough cleaning as well. They even washed his clothes by hand and hung them out to dry. Several of the young ladies made a delicious meal, while strong young men carried their patient to the creek and gave him a well-needed bath. While he was out, the mat he slept on was clean, and at the river, the young men washed their new friend thoroughly, singing and laughing as they worked, hair, body, nails, along with lots of soap and cold water, all applied by caring hands and loving hearts. It was his best bath ever. Back at the house, all was ready, and a delicious meal was served to him on clean dishes. The man was overwhelmed, but the youth weren't done yet. They talked to him about herbs that he might find helpful. They sang to him. They shared Bible promises. And they invited him to come to God and ask for help and healing. The sick man was very quiet for a while. He knew that nobody else would take care of him like this. The thought would never even cross their minds. To think that these youth had cleaned his house, washed him, cut firewood for him, brought him many days' worth of food, and even cooked for him. And the singing and the prayers, all without pay? Tears ran down his face as he addressed the youth. Our people don't know how to do what you have done for me today, but they need to know. They need to know how to take care of people like you do. Please, tell your trainer that we will give you land. You need a permanent training program right here so that all of our youth can learn to do what you have done. That evening at class, the youth told and retold their experiences with the man in the village. I now understand what lovable means, one of the young people proclaimed. It means forgetting myself and diving deep into the needs of someone else. It means washing an old, unfriendly person's hair and cleaning his clothes. It means singing happy songs when people are sad. It means choosing to love very unlovable people, even those who are trying to harm us. A few weeks later, the old man walked up to one of our lay pastors. I want to be baptized, he said. But we've never studied with you, replied the lay pastor, and you've never come to church. Why do you want to be baptized? I was sick the other day, and one of your youth saw me. He and his friends cleaned my house and yard. They cut my firewood. He cooked for me, and then they carried me to the creek and washed me. If that's what Christianity is, then I want it. Now.